It's good to be in God's house this morning. Good to see all of them. Got a good crowd this morning. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson. I hope all the rest of you did. I'm surprised he's an old bird like me. I'm surprised you can teach that good. Amen. That's all right, though. Us old birds can do it, and we get a mind to it. Amen. All right. Well, if you will, open your Bibles today to Luke chapter 23. I'm going to preach a message that I've preached many times over. I don't need a new message this morning. All I need is the anointing of God on the one of God. Amen. If God will get on the message, we'll go through this preacher as humble as I probably want to try to be before the Lord, because you need to be humble when you preach. Let God work through you. Amen. So if he'll speak through me this morning, you'll be blessed. Amen. So one thing I want to say before it escapes my mind, the Sunday school teacher, it's the little things I catch sometimes. But I understand, if I understand about this church just right, it's like my church was. I understand that Dr. Feelgood just don't live here, amen? He don't live here? Okay, well, good. And I don't let him live at my church either, all right? Okay, let's all stand for the Word of God to be read. Luke 23, verse 32. The Bible says, "And there was also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." You may be seated. A very good scripture, one that's been read many times over. And we could have preached about a lot of things this morning, but I want to preach on the cross this morning. I think God's given us a good message on it, and I want to preach it, and maybe it'd be a blessing to you. Amen. Anyway, in this particular message, I want us to talk about there's a song actually out the title of my message this morning, "When I Survey the Wonderful Cross." And y'all got it in your songbook? "When I Survey the Wonderful Cross," and that's what I want to preach on this morning. And so we'll be thinking about along the lines of the cross this morning. And now the writer of the song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," came about when Isaac Watts, a preacher which back in 1707 saw the religionists of his day departing from the doctrine of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He was instrumental in turning the tide of this heresy away. He laid his life and ministry on the line with willing to stand up for Jesus regardless of the cost. But we're living in days and times, too, when the cross is something that's not talked about very much. And we sung all them blood songs this morning. But let me say something to you about the precious blood. Without the precious blood, you're not going to heaven. If you've never been cleansed by the precious blood, you're not going to make it to heaven for sure. But you got to remember where that happened at. It happened at an old rugged cross on a hill one day called Calvary, amen? Thank God Jesus put his eye on Calvary and never looked back and went there with you and me in mind and died and shed. I hate that word, spill. Don't ever sing that song around me. It talks about spilling his blood, because that denotes an accident. It wasn't an accident that God did it. What he did, he shed it on purpose for you and me, because he loved us and wanted to die for us so that we could have life. Amen. What a blessing that is this morning. I'm alive because of the precious blood that was shed at Calvary. Amen. What a blessing. And so we're seeing a great falling away in our day, just as it was in the days of Isaac. 1707, a great falling away from the truth of God's Word. Amen. Well, if you don't think there's a great falling away today of God's truth, you've got another thing coming. Amen. In Sunday school, he mentioned many churches today built on anything other than the Word of God, built on anything other than the foundation of Jesus Christ, built on a whole lot of things that will make people feel good. But hey, where do we get off thinking that God's got to make us feel good every time we come to the house of God? As a matter of fact, most of us probably need to be feeling bad down here in Nalta somewhere, getting things right with God. Amen. And so that's what it's all about, having our hearts right with God so he can bless us, because you can't be blessed unless it's right. A lot of us are disillusioned about all that. Sometimes we think we're happy. Sometimes we think we've got things going our way. But unless your heart's right with God, you're not where you need to be. It's got to be right. And so, there's a great falling away. It's high time that we stand up for the cause of Christ, too, in our day. The enemies are parading up and down the country, ridiculing, mocking, and blaspheming the Word of God, blaspheming everything God stands for. Now, if you've got a TV, you've seen it. I got one of them monsters in my house, so do you, amen? But hey, sometimes it gives us some stuff that we realize is really true and right down the line, amen? So we're living a sin-sick world is what we're doing. And to the lost folks, they're not concerned about the cross this morning. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to go there, but in 1 Corinthians 1:18, it talks about
to those who perish, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Amen. Well, I hope this morning it'll not be foolishness to you. I hope it'll make sense to you what I'm about to say this morning. Because unless you've been there and done business with Lord Jesus, then you're not prepared to leave this world. Amen. By the way, somewhere I'll probably mention it, but there's only two eternities. One goes up, one goes down. Amen. You'll find that in Proverbs 15:24. When we'll read that in a little bit, but let's move along. We need to be like Watts was to survey the wondrous cross. In surveying, we'll see what Christianity is all about. The cross is the centerpiece of the Bible. All the other great truths center around the cross. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." His life was given that we may have life, but it took place at Calvary. Amen. And so what a blessing. And so it's the heart and soul of the Bible and Christianity when we survey it. Now, let me tell you what the word, I had to look it up. I always want to be sure I'm right about these things. Amen. But the word survey is a good word. And here's what it means. It means a detailed study as by gathering information and analyzing it, or to examine or consider it in detail. And that's what God wants you to do with your Bible. Examine it. Study it detail by detail. Understand what God's saying so that you may have it comprehend what God's telling you. Amen. And people need to do that. We preach, and many times people just don't get much of it. Amen. But hey, we preach it hoping the heart will be open enough to get some of God's Word, because God's Word is what will do the job. Amen. Nothing else will do it. And so when we consider the cross, I'm going to give you four things this morning. When I consider the cross and I study it in detail and get all the information I can on it, I come to some conclusions. And the first one that I see when I survey it is that we see man's hatred for God. Right away in the Bible, Adam sinned against God. And he went out away from God, and God had to come looking for him. By the way, it's never changed. God still comes looking for man. If you're lost this morning, God's looking for you. You're not looking for him. Just because you're sitting here, you're not necessarily looking for God. God's looking for you. Because sin did a bad number on you and me both. I mean, our minds are blinded to the truth. Our hearts are shut up to the truth. We live in one dark night without God, without hope, without God. And a man, hey, the entrance of God's Word bringing light. Until I heard the Word of God preached, there was no light in my soul. Until I received Jesus into my heart, then it became light to my soul. My mind was open to the truth, and I can understand God because I have Him in my heart. Amen. Got to get saved to understand. Somebody said we need new Bibles. Well, we got 100,000 of them. Now, hey, there's only really one, but we got 100,000 that tried to say that was wrong. And hey, that'll not do you any good. If you don't hear God's truth from the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, don't you know, unless a man receives that Word into his heart, he'll remain lost and undone. In one dark night, he'll die and go to a devil's hell because he didn't open his heart to Jesus, the light of the world, which will come in and give him light and life. Amen. What a blessing. So we see man's hatred for God. Man is in a depraved state, has an inbred hatred for God. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody. I don't try to, a little old verse like that speaks volumes. Amen. God has a way of just telling everybody, every last one of you lost and on your road to hell, without me, you're not going to make it to heaven because you're dead in trespasses and sins. And I don't know what men think about sin, but sin, if it's not taken care of at Calvary, if it's not taken care of with Jesus, that's going to send men to hell, amen. I mean, it's just, and the greatest sin of all is not adultery, not drinking, not dipping, and all those things that we could mention that might be sin against God. The greatest sin of all is not hearing the Word of God, receiving the Word of God, and believing the Word of God so that God can release you from your sins. Amen. That's the greatest sin of all. And so this morning, I hope that your ears will be open, your hearts will be open to what God's trying to tell us. So right away, when we study God's Word, we see man's hatred for God. He's a depraved human being before we save. When I say depraved, I'm simply saying there's nothing in himself that can do anything to gain God's favor. He's lost and in sin, and God's got to do something for him. Amen. And that's what he's got to do. And so it doesn't take us long as we study the Bible. Cain hated Abel, did he not? Why? Because his own works were righteous. I mean, Abel's was righteous and Cain's weren't. You know the story about the sacrifices brought to the altar. One of them had blood, the other one didn't. Sung a lot of blood songs. Well, I love them old blood songs because that's a, I guess it's the most powerful, probably most important doctrine in all the Word of God, is without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. You can't have your sins forgiven unless you believe that Jesus shed his blood for you. Amen. And so, I like it because all through the Bible, it just keeps going right down the line with it. Cain hated Abel because Abel brought a blood sacrifice to the altar and God accepted it. He brought the works of his own hands and God wouldn't have it. Amen. Works won't get you to heaven. You can go to church all you want to. You can give all the money you want to. Just do it all. Do everything you think that you have power to do. You're still going to fall short of the glory of God. And you're still going to need Jesus to get saved and cleansed by the blood. Amen. And so he hated Abel because of his sacrifice. Then Joseph's brother hated him. Now, that's easy. Joseph's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph came unto his brothers. What did they do? The same thing they did to Jesus. He came unto his own received him not. And hey, and they despised the Lord Jesus and they despised Joseph too. We know that story too, how that God used Joseph, did he not, to be their Savior. Well, God took Jesus and hung him on a cross to be our Savior. Amen. Now, so it's always in the blood, I promise you that. And so Jesus, he was a type of the Lord Jesus. Then Saul hated David. Why? Because David, now I'm going, I hope some of y'all know your Bible a little bit because I'll lose you right all this stuff. But I'm sure you've heard the story of David. David was a man that was called what? A man after what? God's own heart, amen? A man after God's own heart. Well, that's why Saul despised him. That's why the world hated him. He had a lot of enemies because he was a lover of God. If you're a lover of God, don't expect the world to love you. Don't expect people to think highly of you because you won't. Jesus said if they hated me before they hated you, they're going to hate you too. So you got to understand that being a Christian is not easy a thing in this world. But after all, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Thank God I'm going to heaven one day and all this old world is going to be left for the judgment of God. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. How about you? Amen. And so Christians of all ages have paid a dear price for their faith. We find that in Old Testament times, Christians were hated and despised. Come down to Jesus' time, he was despised and hated. And even today, in your and mine time, 2 Timothy 3:12 says, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're going to live a godly life, you're going to be criticized. You're going to be not well liked. Because you've got stands that you're going to take that the world don't understand and they don't like. As he was saying this morning, you're just a little bit too, you know, you're just a little bit too rigid or something, amen. You don't give enough. You're not liberal enough about things. Well, you're not supposed to be. You're supposed to take a stand for God, and stand like he stood. Jesus wasn't loved and patted on the back every time he walked down the street either. As a matter of fact, I find that he was a very abused man for his day and time, amen. And so don't expect the world to love you because the world will love its own and they certainly won't love God's people, amen. And so people today, it seemingly seems like that people today hate anything and everything that pertains to God, his word, his Christ. They just seem there's a hatred for God in our world, whether you realize it or not. And that's the truth. A lot of religion in the world, but religion's not going to get anybody, it profiteth nothing. It's not going to get anybody to heaven. It's not going to change a man's soul. Hey, you've got to have some good preaching about a Christ who came at Calvary and died purposely for you and me. If you've never trusted him this morning, when I preach on hell or the cross, there's two things I always expect when I come to the pulpit. I expect for sinners to listen up, fess up, and get saved. They need to get saved. They need to confess to God that I'm that old wicked sinner you're talking about, and I have a need in my heart so desperate that I'm going to bust hell wide open if you don't come to my aid, amen? Because that's where you're at. You've either got him living in your heart today as I speak, or you don't. No in-betweeny. Either you know him or you don't know him. Either you've been cleansed or you've not been cleansed. Either you've trusted his precious blood for that cleansing or you haven't. But you know in your own heart and mind where you are with God. I don't have to be God's detective. detective. I don't have to come look with my microscope into your soul. You know when I preach the book, you know whether you're there or not. Amen? And hey, I just say this. It'd be nice to walk out of here this morning knowing that you've met God. Amen? In a real way, in a saving way, in a way that would change your life. That's what God wants to do for every one of us. And so, we see man's hatred for God, for sure. Turn me to Revelation 12:11, even in the tribulation time, which, by the way, I'm not going to be here. I mean, some of y'all might, but I'm not going to be here, okay? And I hope you're not. I'm just teasing, but I mean, you know, if you make it to the tribulation, then you miss the rapture. If you miss the rapture, you wasn't saved, amen. And so, we're waiting on the trumpet to sound, are we not? I always tell folks, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uppertaker, amen. He's going to blow that horn, away I go. I mean, I'm not looking for anything. I'm 73 years old, come August the 19th, and I'm still looking for him to come in my lifetime, amen. My wife thinks that's kind of funny, but I think it's going to be real funny when he does it, and she sees it happen, amen. It's going to happen before I die, amen. How y'all like that? Well, y'all say, well, I hope you ain't got long to live. All right. Well, anyway, because I tell you what, Christians of all ages have paid a dear price for their faith. Revelation 12:11 says this, and they overcame. Now, mind you, in the tribulation time, they're going to have to give their lives for their faith. See, today, all you have to do, having not seen him and yet believing, you got saved, amen. But these folks are going to hear the Word of God and get saved, and hey, they're going to have to die for their faith in Christ. They're going to have, when they tell them to renounce his name, they'll say, not on your life. I'm going to proclaim that name to my very death. And they're going to do it during the tribulation time. Be a many a man saved during the tribulation time, but it's going to cost them dearly. Now, here's what I don't understand about our generation. We're living in the grace age, the best age ever known in, among the Bible times or any time. Amen. We live in a day and age of grace when God's mercy and grace and compassion and understanding and long-suffering is there for every man that walks God's earth. And I want you to know, some men just do despite under the spirit of grace and shun all that God offers them. And yet one day God's going to say, well, I'm going to get it up here one day, and enough's enough. There's coming an hour when I'm coming, and because you're not ready, you're not going. You know, it would pay, wouldn't it, to know in your heart that as the trumpet sounded this morning, you're going up, not down. And I tell you what, when the trumpet does sound, and we who are saved and know that we're saved have done business with Jesus concerning our sins, lives in our hearts by faith in Him, are ready to go with Him when He comes, when we go, those left behind. Now, I know you got all kinds of guys a lot smarter than me writing books about all that stuff. But I tell you, I got the right book. They must not have the writing because they write some stuff that just ain't fair, amen. And they write stories like there's going to be a lot of Gentiles, a lot of folks down here in America going to get saved when the tribulation starts. I got news for you. If you can't get saved now in the grace age when it's so freely offered, you're surely not going to get saved when it's not offered that free, amen. It's free now for a man to just step out into an aisle and come down and weep at an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I'm lost and I'm hell-bound. And God, if you don't help me today, I'm going to bust hell wide. If a man would do that, God save him. But you know why he won't do it? Because he loves his sin. John 3, verse 18 tells us so. He loved his sin more than he did the Savior. When you look out at Calvary and realize that man's dying for you, and it, hey, because he died, he didn't do that without purpose. He did that to keep your soul out of hell is what he done. But he's not going to make you get saved. You got to remember one thing. You got to be willing to come and accept him. Call upon that name that's above every name and say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save me. When you do that, he'll be a gracious God and a loving Savior and wrap his arms around you and hug you up to his heart and never let you go. Amen. Now, you may not believe that one, too, but I believe that. That's how much He loves me. Amen. And so that brings me to my next point. Now, we know this world is reeling and rocking like a drunken man for sure. But here's what the Word of God said. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb. There it is, that blood. And by the word of their testimony, their testimony was, Jesus saves. Amen. And He goes on to say, and they love not their lives unto death. So it's telling me there that they're going to have to die for the cause of their faith, amen. Aren't you glad you don't have to? The only thing God told you to die to is yourself. And that's our big enemy today in this hour and time before he comes. We have to wrestle with self way too much. We need to carry him to the cross every now and then, an old-fashioned altar, and die to self is what we need to do. Amen? And so the next thing I see as I survey the cross is we see God's love for man. How many of you believe God loves you this morning? Boy, we got some religions that actually they're not based on the love of God. They're based on hate, aren't they? Not. I can't understand a religion like that that can't love. Jesus said, if you can't love your brother whom you've seen, how can you love God? I mean, if I can't love men as men are, I certainly can't love God. Because God created each one of us. Now, he may not even know God, but I have to love him in spite of him not knowing God. Amen. The love of God, ain't that what God said? Let me give you the scripture, John 3:16. I know y'all know that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. Well, I've got a little saying, whatever God's for, I'm for, and whatever God's against, I'm against. And if God's for loving the whole world, even so much so as to go and die for him, I thank God I don't have to die for him because Jesus has already done that. But I'm to have the same attitude he had about loving that world. He don't want to see men go to hell. Hell wasn't prepared for mankind. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. God said that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. That bunch in heaven that rebelled against God, and God cast them down. And then you see him show his old ugly face in the garden and cause Adam and Eve to sin. Amen. He didn't like it because God dealt with him severely. So he wanted everything that God did to go sour, amen? So what he did, he come and put a little bit of that sour stuff in Eve's mouth. And I tell you what, she did exactly what God told her not to do and plunged all of mankind into one dark night. That's why today, my dear friend, you was born with a sinful nature. Little babies are the most precious thing in the world. Little Levi back there when he was born, he's still precious because he's innocent, amen? Just precious as he can be. But I tell you what, it's coming a time when you may not think so. Now, I hope he don't understand what I'm saying here. But I'm just going to tell him, he's just born a little old sinner like me and you. God says that we're all sinners and we all need help. But hey, why can't we get men to understand it's already stole some stuff and already cussed God a time or two or already killed somebody or already took some drugs or drank some alcohol? All those sinful things that just that decays man's being, period, amen. Why won't they believe that there's a God in heaven that sent his Son to die on a cross and die there and shed his blood so that sinners like me and you can be cleansed and helped by the hand of God and be made over? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. When God saves a man, he changes a man, amen. I'm not the same old man I used to be, thank God. Now, I mean, some folks look at me and think I'm still just as bad as I ever was. But I got news for them. They can't see my heart, amen. I mean, hey, God deals with a man's heart. It's the heart that deceives. It's the heart that defiles a man. Not what maybe even comes out of it, God said in his word, but the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, amen. Well, I guarantee you don't even know your own heart. You go around boasting how you won't do this, you won't do that. Oh, no. Oh, no. You sure got a lot of confidence in your little old self. Oh, I can tell you, I know most folks go around tooting the horn like that, usually wind up doing something like that and find out they ain't so strong after all. Amen. Got to be careful what you say. Jesus said, let your words be few. Let them be yea and let them be nay, because any more than this usually becomes sin. Amen. Got to be careful. Make them very few. And when they are coming out of your mouth, let it be like praising God or something. Amen. And so 1 John, go into 1 John right quick. I got to hurry. I'm telling you, preachers, I don't know who ever come with that hour, that 45-minute stuff for a preacher. I just think, I like old Paul. He preached long. The guy listened to him so long, he fell out of the floor and died. At midnight, Paul started early in the evening and preached till midnight. Boy, that's bad. I know this one thing. I don't know what them people were, but they weren't Baptists. They weren't Baptists. No, sir. They might have been Presbyterian or whatever, but I think it's just, I tell you what, the reason they were just really born again Christians, loving the Word of God is what they were, amen? And so, let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God. Underline that, because we didn't. Even after we're saved, sometimes we have a hard time keeping that one up. I know some Christians don't love Him like they ought to. Sometimes Ron Zabrowski don't love Him like he ought to. Okay, we need to love Him like He loves us, amen. I wish I could have compassion on people like God has on me. I wish I could be long-suffering towards other Christians and other people like God has long-suffering for me. I wish I could just make Him my carbon copy and fall into it and say, there you are, God. Make me and mold me to be more like Yourself, amen. That's what God wants. But look what it says. It says, here is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's what I got through telling you. Look at verse 19. Why do we love Him? We love Him because He did what? He first loved us. Think about that one for a minute. You're capable of love today because Christ first loved you. That's the only way. Somebody said, well, hey, I love my wife. Well, I say, oh, you just thought you did. You really didn't. You have enough trouble with it after you got saved, even much less before you saved. That God's truth. I'm just telling the truth. But down in your heart, a Christian, you love her, amen. She loves you. And see, God did a work on your heart when you got saved that nothing else can do. God put a love of God. The love of God's been shed. I tell you what the book says in Romans 5:5. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And if He sheds it in your heart, it's going to be permanent. And it'll work, amen. It'll work if God puts it there. That's why our world's reeling and rocking like a drunk man now. That's why there's such a chaotic condition in our world, because nobody knows about the love of God. Oh, they hear about the love of God, but to hear about the love of God and to really know the love of God is worlds apart. Worlds apart. And so, we see that God truly loves us. Now, let me give you something right here, right quick. There's a large billboard just outside of Ada, Oklahoma. How many of you know where Ada, Oklahoma is? I've been there. Been by it a couple times, been there, whatever. Not one of my favorite states, by the way. It's like Arkansas, poor as Job's turkey, amen. But listen, anyway, there's a huge billboard outside of Ada, Oklahoma, situated on Highway 9. It's a picture of, and it is a picture of the crucifixion of Jesus on that billboard. The words on the billboard simply say, "I love you this much." I thought that was great. I mean, great big. Can you imagine a great big old billboard with Jesus on the cross, nails in His hands and His feet, His blood, water and blood coming out of His side, and it just simply says, "I love you this much." Well, that's how much He loved you. He loved you enough to have His hands nailed to an old rugged cross, His feet to the cross, and a crown of thorns upon His head, and being despised and abused severely at the foot of that cross. And yet He says to the whole world, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I wonder if we can forgive like that. See, that's another one of them things. Hey, God, make me more like Your Son. Help me. To have a forgiving heart as my Father had for me. Amen. That's what we have to have. And so the thing I had also a preacher one time, an article that he had written, and I read from it and I kept it and I think it's a good one. It says, in this article, here's what he said. He said, the thing I remember about my father, he was talking about his father. Story about his dad, okay? That's what this is all about. He said, the thing I remember about my father was one of his hands had a huge scar in it. I remember passing by his casket, viewing his body for the last time. Tears came to my eyes as I looked at that scar, and that scar was put there as he worked on the railroad back in the hard, dark days of the Depression. Now, I'm not quite old enough. My mother was, but I'm 73, and I'm still not old enough to have remembered the Depression. So therefore, I'm going to step out on a limb and say, I don't think none of y'all have either. I don't think me and y'all that much. You're older than me, aren't you? Yeah, okay. I found one. But see, guys like him and me, we know about people that lived in the Depression. That was some hard, dark, lean, may I say lean, lean time. America would die today if they had to go back to them kind of days. Hey, he preached it good this morning. We're sitting on our cushions of ease, amen. We've got everything at our fingertips. We got more than what we really deserve, and yet we say no to God. Now, what a shame. What a shame that is, amen. And anyway, he remembered that the scar in his daddy's hands. Tears came to my eyes, he said, and looked, as he looked at that scar, the scar was put there, like I said, by railroad work back in the dark days of Depression. He was holding a big spike while another man was driving it down with a big sledgehammer. The man driving the stake missed the spike and hit my daddy's hand. His hand was crushed, but he continued to work. I remember I asked my mother why he continued to work with his hand in that shape, and she told him that he had to work to keep food on the table. He goes on to say, oh, how precious that hand was to me from that moment on. I imagine it was. And you'd have to understand about that story when his daddy told him his hand was crushed by a sledgehammer. I don't know about a sledgehammer, but I've been nailing a nail. Back when I used to be so blind I couldn't see you out there in that pew, and I'd be nailing a nail and hit my finger, and oh, good night. Well, you talk about hurt. That hurts bad, amen. So if you guys had a hammer in your hand, hit your hand, you know what I'm talking about. But I imagine a sledgehammer with a spike coming back with all your might with a it crushed that hand. I bet it just crushed it all to pieces, you know. But he said, hey, that hand became very precious to him because he realized his daddy, in spite of what he went through, in spite of the agony and pain and all that he went through, that hand, he could look and realize how much his daddy really loved him. Amen. Went back to work, still providing for the family like he's supposed to. Well, that kind of makes me think about the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's how much he loved you. I mean, him old spikes in his hands and his feet. Spear thrown into his side. I mean, listen to me. He loves you that much, amen. And so what a blessing it is. And so I think of another story in the Bible. Turn me to John chapter 20, if you will. Another story about some hands, and we're going to look at it. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. My. Jesus, they're in the upper room. About 120 of them up in the upper room. And mind you now, the Spirit of God hadn't came yet. Jesus just, all of a sudden, there he is in their midst. Now, whether you know it or not, he's in our midst this morning, too. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there I will be in the midst. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your presence this morning. I'm glad he's here amongst us, amen. I'd hate to go to church and have to look for Jesus, wouldn't you? Now, sister, it ain't so bad when I have to look for you, because I know I'll call you and find whatever. But, hey, it's really bad to get into any kind of Bible service, whether it be teaching or preaching, and you don't know that Jesus is there. I've been there. Boy, it's spooky. In fact, I want to get out. Run, run, run. Amen. Just fast as you can. I got to get somewhere where the Bible's being preached, songs of praise are being sung to the Lord Jesus, not about you and me, unto Him, amen. Old blood songs and songs that mean something to the heart and lifts up the soul, amen, to God, amen. And so, I tell you what, in this verse right here, let's go now, if you will, go to verse 26, verse 25, I mean. Verse 24, I'm sorry, we'll get there. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. Now, let me, just in passing, let me just tell you why it's important. Hey, mark this verse right here, if you will, and let me say this to you and mark about, and remember what I told you. This scripture right here teaches us what you can miss by not being faithful. Some people today, they come and go as they want to. It don't matter very little whether they're in their place or not. I got other things to do. Blah, 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 blah. We could run our lips a long time on that, but I'm not. It ain't worth it. Listen to me. Men, God said, let a steward of God be found faithful. Amen. Old Thomas here missed one of the best services ever. He wasn't in his place. and he missed the greatest service ever. Jesus had just recently rose from the dead. First time they seen the risen Savior was that morning in that building, 120 of them strong, but Thomas was not there. And he looked on them and look what he says to them. Look at verse 20. And when he so said, he showed unto them his hands, and they were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not going to carry that anymore. I got some views about all that. I'm not going there, but I just want you to know what a service that was. That morning, that 120 was standing there because the risen Savior was in their presence. And mind you, the Holy Ghost wasn't living in their hearts yet. He said, peace be unto you. And he breathed on them, and they received. That's one thing for something to be upon you, and it's another thing for something to be in you. Amen. But they received the Holy Ghost in their heart. You know what happened to you, sister, when you got saved? The Lord didn't just come by you and slap you on and say, well, hey, I touched you, you're okay. I know some Pentecostal friends think that's the way it happens. That ain't the way it happens, amen. No, sir. When I got saved, I said, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Ron's going to bust hell wide open, God, if you don't save me. And when I called on the Lord Jesus, said, Lord, please save me. All of a sudden, son, I felt something in my soul that soul had never felt before. I want you to know, I believe God the Son breathed on me that night when I called on His precious name, and the sweet Holy Ghost of God came into my heart and set up housekeeping in my soul, and He closed the door and sealed it to the day of redemption. I want you to know I'm saved forever because the Holy Ghost lives here. Amen. Well, that's what happened to them. I can just see old Thomas' face when they said, we received the Holy Ghost last week. Well, he comes this week to be in his place. But look at it. Let's look at verse 28. Verse 27. And after 8 days again, 26. And after 8 days again, the disciples were within. Thomas with them came to Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold thy hand, my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He actually was able to thrust his hand in the side of Jesus. Jesus showed him his hands and his feet. You know, I think there's a song that says, the only man-made thing in heaven is going to be the nail prints in his hands. Amen? And I believe that. I believe you're not going to have no problem recognizing Jesus because he's going to be like this. He's going to show you his hands and his feet. He's still going to bear the marks of Calvary throughout all eternity to let you know he wasn't just your Savior today when he saved you. But he's eternally your Savior. Amen? Well, thank God for that. Amen? And then verse 29, And Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, but blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. There's where we're at. What do you got to do to get saved? Just believe that God sent his Son to die for you. Just believe that you're an old sinner that deserves, rightfully so, to go to hell without God, without hope. But because he loves you so much, he's willing to wrap his arms around you and save you to himself and make a new creature out of you. You've got to believe that or it won't happen. Believe the book. That's God's voice, God's mind, your heart. God understands. Isn't that book precious? God opens up his mind to you and lets you know what's in his mind and in his heart. All I've got to do is just believe what God's telling me. That's God's voice. I don't take that lightly. Where else can you find God's voice? You can't. Where are you going to find it? You wouldn't be finding it through this preacher this morning. Well, this book. I got to get in this book. I got to give you God's book. I got to give you God's mind and God's voice from this pulpit for you to hear it. Amen. That's why God said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, not by Ron Zabrowski. I'm just a vessel used to relay, to carry God's message to your heart. Amen. But you have to believe God's message to get saved. You've got to believe God's message to live a good Christian life. You have to believe the Word of God to grow in grace. You have to believe the Word of God to get to heaven. That's all I can tell you. Now let's hurry on. I've got no minutes. But I'm going to take 10 if y'all don't mind. We see, as we survey the cross, not only we see that that the world hates God, or sinful man hates God, not only we see, as we study the Scriptures, that God loves us. I come to the conclusion that God loves us, even though we're not worth loving. Romans 5:8, God commends His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. You don't love like that. In fact, we can get so mad at some people, we sometimes even have thought, I'd like to choke him dead. Well, really? Well, that ain't God speaking through you when you've done that. That had to be old nasty self's what it was, and God wants you to bring him to the altar to kill him right there, amen. Yeah. God would say, love him still. That's what he did for you. That's what he did for me. He loved us still, in spite of how wicked and sinful and rotten we were and low down and deserving to go to hell. Jesus said, look, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll do well. That last part was me, not him. It will do you well, though, won't it? Amen? All right, so now we see, as we survey the cross, we see a glimpse of hell. Let me hurry. Now, hell's a lot of things for sure. In Mark chapter 9, verse 46 through verse 50, five times God speaks of the unquenchable fire that shall not be quenched. Some people have a hard time. I've even known people told me, I can't believe in a God that would send anybody to hell. I said, well, you're right about that. God don't send people to hell. People carry themselves there. As a matter of fact, I've even showed them Matthew 25:41, that it wasn't prepared for man. It's prepared for the devil and his angels who rebelled in heaven. But also because sin entered man's heart, if he continues in his rebellion towards God, he'll go to the same place his father is. Amen. You see, today you're either a child of the devil or you're a child of God. Now, I know that sounds bad. And when you really start thinking about it, it really is bad. I'd hate to know that I was still a child of the devil. I was once for 22 years. Run hard, run fast, run wicked. God cussing heathen like you ain't never seen in your life. But I tell you what, I bumped heads with Jesus one day. He reached down and saved me, changed my life. You see, I'm an old-fashioned preacher. You can talk about being saved all you want to, but it ain't changed your life none. You're not saved. I don't apologize for that either. If your want-to is for God, I mean, if God didn't put a want-to in your heart today for the things of God rather than things for yourself and the things of this world, you're not saved. God, as my old preacher said, one thing about God and God, I had a heart full of old nasty want-tos, and Jesus came in and took that old junky thing and threw it out and put a whole new bunch of new want-tos in there. Now, that ain't hard to understand. That's exactly what salvation's all about. God takes that old you and it dies with Him at the cross. And, hey, you're raised up as a new man in Christ. Amen. A new man with new want-tos, new mind, new heart, new everything. God wants you to be more like Him. Now, He warned us about our old stinking flesh. We know that. We got to deal with that every day. But down in the heart of man is where it's at. And there's where you'll know whether you're saved or not. And so we see that we see the glimpse of hell. Now, like I said, there's a lot of things in hell for sure. There's fire. It's mentioned five times in those verses. And then also there's I see a man in Luke 16 begging for water. He just begs Lazarus for just one drop of water on his finger to come and cool his parched tongue. That sounds like an awful place to me. I don't know how much any of y'all know about hell, but hell's for those who are unbelievers. Now, don't go with all your old nasty sins, because all them old nasty things that men do is just the fruit of his sinful nature. He was born a sinner. He's born an unbeliever. He has somewhere in his life he has to believe God's Word and let the God of that Word change his life. If he don't, he'll die in his sins. He'll go to hell in his sins. And he'll spend eternity in his sins. Amen. But God's there to rescue him if he'll only let him. And so I see that it's also a place of where a man begs for water. It's a place of unrest, no rest at all. I also hear Jesus talk about being a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But above all that you think about hell, the worst is all, and it's found in Matthew. Turn to Matthew, if you will. Jesus himself put it on display. And what a blessing that is. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 46, and you'll see Jesus do something. I'm going to move away from this real quick. But the worst thing of all about hell is that hell is separation from God Almighty. I hate to think about a place. That's bad enough in this world. Have you ever been to somebody's home where there's no God? I have, a whole bunch of times. I've been preaching for 40 years. I've been in people's homes where you couldn't have found God in the house nowhere. There's just lost people doing what lost people do best, you know, making a living, trying to raise a family, fussing and fighting all the time, doing things they love to do, whatever. But hey, God's nowhere around. That's our world. The average man these days hadn't got his mind on God, I promise you that. In fact, I'm going to go step out on another limb. Unless a man gets somewhere and hears the word of God, he's not going to be stirred enough to think about God much. That's why the book is so precious. That's why preaching should be an honorable thing in men's eyes, because without the preaching of God's word, men are not going to hear the word of God, and if they don't hear it, they're not going to get saved. I tell you what, hell's an awful place, but the most horrible thing. Look at verse 46. Let me move on. Now, Jesus is on the cross. It says in verse 45, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Sixth hour to the ninth, about 3 hours. Heavy darkness. And then he goes on to say in verse 46, and about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that precise moment in the ninth hour, he cried out that because all that whole time on the cross, the Bible says in Habakkuk 1:13 that God, now listen to this, Habakkuk 1:13, that little old book's way over in the middle of your Bible, I mean over Daniel along that line. But in that book, in 1:13, it says, God is of pure eyes and behold iniquity. You know why he turned his back on his son that day? You know why God separated himself from his son? And by the way, that's the only time and will ever be the only time that God turned his back on his son. That's the only time that God and his son were ever separated. You'll find that in Proverbs 8, by the way. Go to Proverbs 8 and you'll find that out. I promise you, it's good stuff. But hey, he was separated from his father, and the reason he was because God had already made a statement in the Old Testament that God's of pure eyes and behold iniquity. And you know what Jesus was doing on that cross? Bearing the sins of the whole world in his own body on that tree so that sinners like you and I could come to him and be saved. You've got to remember, you ain't done anything to get rid of your sins. Jesus paid the price for your sins. He tasted, by the way, sister, he tasted my hell for me. I deserve to go. Even that, I say this all the time, Lord, even as a saved man that knows you, Lord loves your word, and Lord loves to see folks get saved, and Lord loves my family, want to see all them go to heaven with. Lord, even though, Lord, I know all these things, if I got what I justly deserve, my dear God, it would be hell itself, amen. You may be saved, sanctified, set apart, ready to go to heaven, but hey, it's all because of God's darn grace, amen. Without the grace of God, you'd bust hell wide open. Thank you, Lord. You ought to thank God for His grace every day that you breathe. Oh, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Hey, you know, we're not much apart from the grace of God, I tell you that. That's what always comes to my mind. Lord, I want to thank your grace. I would be absolutely nothing without your grace. Amen. What a blessing. And so we see a glimpse of hell. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, Jesus takes... Now, you got to get this one. You may think you're too sinful to be saved. You may think a lot of things, but hey, you know what you got to do? Quit thinking and believe. Hey, too many men, when it comes to getting saved, they think too much for themselves. Hey, don't lean to your own understanding. Just believe what God says and act on what God told you. That's all you got to do. He said He'll save you if you'll come. What's hard about that? I find folks trying to make excuses why they can't come. What? Send them straight to hell, and yet they ain't got time to come. That don't make sense, but that's the old sinful nature, and that's how much we love our sins, what it is. Well, if you love it enough to go to hell with it, then I'd say leap to it. And I'm going to tell you what, that's crazy. That'd be like saying, I like fire. I promise you, I may like fire. Hey, I do like fire. I like an old campfire. I love it. Man, sit around that fire and talk and have a good time. But I ain't going to leap into it just because I like it. It'll burn your taters is what it'll do. I guarantee it will. You know what hell do? Hell consume you too. The Bible says it has an appetite like you wouldn't believe. And it's not talking about being full with people. Hell is never full. But it's talking about its appetite. If you can get a man that's lost in this service this morning to reject Christ and reject His Word and walk out of here one more time, he says, I've got him. I've got him. I'll get him. I'm going to get him to hell yet. That's the devil's work. You don't think he works like that? Well, I promise you, Jesus may be here too, but he ain't by himself. The devil has his little henchmen around too, okay? That's why in your mind sometimes, as a lost man in my mind sometimes, I could feel God's voice, hear God's voice tugging at my heart, wanting me to do something, and all the while there was another voice telling me, back off. You got plenty of time. Don't worry about it. Well, you see, the two work against each other, but I'm glad that Jesus, hey, he's Almighty God. Amen. Now, for the last thing, and we'll close, we see the only possible way of going to heaven, as we survey the cross, we see the only possible way to go to heaven is the one who penned the old song. I mean, listen to me. It's amazing, but it's the only way. Jesus said in John 14:6, and we all know this scripture very well, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man, I like the second part, no man cometh to the Father except by me. Boy, that's very plain. Men try to make other ways to heaven, try to make other things, I mean, all kinds of avenues to heaven. Hey, Jesus is still the way. That's why I quoted that verse a while ago, come unto me, y'all that labor and heavy laden. I'm the one that can give you rest. You ain't going to find no peace and rest in anything else except the Lord Jesus. I can promise you that. The book bears that out from cover to cover. Amen. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 2:14 says, He is my peace. How about that one? If you've got peace this morning, it ain't yours. It's Him that put it there. Amen. He is my peace. If Jesus is there, you got peace. But if He ain't there, you ain't got any. I don't care. You can have an old make-believe peace if you want to. But it ain't real peace. And so God's the only way. He's the only one who can get us heaven. Adam and Eve will be there to give their testimony. And if they give it, they'll talk kind of like this. The animal that God stood to provide covering for us was a picture of the Lamb of God. I believe God explained all that to him. God's not going to leave you. As a matter of fact, the book says too many times, I would not have you to be ignorant. God explained to Adam because of his sin. That sin had to be atoned for. And Ben, you've sinned against me, and I loved you, and you're my creation. I'm going to make a way for you to come back to me. Have peace with me. Have fellowship with me. You know he wasn't, didn't you? Y'all seen Genesis chapter 3 real quick where they was at, didn't you? They were doing what the world's doing today, playing peekaboo on God. They was hiding behind a tree somewhere with their own little old clothing on, and God said, that won't work. They had little old aprons on, and God said, that won't do. I'm going to slay a little lamb, shed its blood, because it takes blood to forgive you. You can't be forgiven without shed blood, and you remember that. When you come to my altar, you plead the blood, amen. And I'm going to clothe you with my righteousness, this skin, this little animal that I slew, I'm going to take its skins and clothe you with that, which represents my righteousness, Adam, not yours. Amen. If you're saved today, you're saved because of His precious blood and His righteousness. Paul said, not by righteousness which I have done, but by His righteousness we are saved. Amen. Thank God for that. Boy, what a blessing. Abel's testimony, I'm here because of what? Same one. You see, Daddy taught his son. His daddy taught both sons. One of them had a wicked heart, though. Cain would not obey God. I mean, I hear people all the time saying, well, when I got saved, I claimed my whole house. Well, good for you. I did too. And I'm not against that. Hey, claim them. Ask God for them. I'm still asking God for some of mine. But right off, the Bible teaches us that God is God doing the teaching early on in the Bible. Him Himself is doing everything. He ain't using so many men. He's doing it Himself, ain't He? Amen. He spoke the world into existence. He put Adam and Eve out there in that Garden of Eden. He told them, gave them some commands of what to do and what not to do. Amen. God doing everything. Even told them, the day you eat thereof, you're going to die. You're going to die spiritually. Amen. He told them, but they didn't mind God. That's always been man's trouble. And so Abel's testimony, he believed his father's God. Adam had told him what God did to save his soul, and so he just got him a little lamb, went to the altar, and cut its throat, and bled upon the altar, and the fire of God came down out of heaven and consumed his sacrifice, God saying, I'm well pleased. Old Cain brings his and sets it on the altar, it's all in garlics and leeks and onions, which, by the way, would have made a good basket to take home with you, but it wouldn't be a good basket to take to God. It represented the workers of their own hands. He brought it to God. He thought God would accept it, and God was displeased with it. Cain got mad, and just a little distance down the road, he murders his brother Abel because Abel's sacrifice was accepted by God, and his wasn't, so he got mad. I find religion gets mad at us, too, when we really stand up for God, too. I find a lost world that don't like us so much because we think we're holy Joes or something. That's what they'll tell you. I had several in my life. Hey, you just know Holy Joe is what you are. I said, wrong on both parts. I ain't Joe and I ain't holy. Amen. I guarantee you, no, sir. But I tell you what, I've been saved by God's grace in my life. I've been changed by the power of God. And I'm going to heaven. Where are you going? That's what I like to tell them. Where are you going, big boy? You've been saved. Have you trusted Jesus? Has your soul been bathed in the blood of the Lamb of God that died at Calvary because He loved you so much and you're rejecting His love? I want you to know He loves you enough even now to save you if you'll humble yourself.
Then Moses will give a testimony in heaven one day, and he'll tell us it was the blood upon the doorpost
that got him out of Egypt. So you ain't going nowhere without the blood. In fact, the Bible says the firstborn's going to die that don't have the blood upon the doorpost. You know what that's talking about, don't you? If you were born once, flesh and blood, and grew up flesh and blood, but you have to be born again, do you not? Well, I tell you what, the firstborn will die and go to hell. But if you've been born again, there's no condemnation. You're going to heaven. But the Bible, you've got to remember what Jesus said. You must be born again. It's a must that you get saved. Not think so, hope so, or whatever. You must be born again.
Then last of all, we'll see the old thief who died along with Jesus. We'll ask him how he got there, and he'll say, let me sing a verse of song to you. It'll sound something like this. He said, because this song tells my story. Then he'll sing, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. Though vile as he, wash all my sins away.
You see, there's all kinds of testimonies in heaven. They got there simply through the blood of Jesus. Those testimonies will ring out forever. And we'll fall at his feet. Look at his crucified hands and his feet and his riven side. Say, thank you, Lord, for loving me enough to die for me. God bless you. That's all. Stand up, please.